Stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are so glad that you're with us. We're so thankful for everybody out there. We're thankful for all of our listeners in Taiwan, in Japan, Korea, the Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, China, India, all of Europe. It's just absolutely crazy how popular this is becoming. And we're so thankful that you're out there listening. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. Now, just as a background, we did an episode earlier called God Requires, or God's Blessing Requires Humility. And it's how, what prevents people from coming to the truth? What's preventing God from doing and completing that work in their life? And we cover that, and that was kind of like an intro before we got into 1 Corinthians. It was very fitting. Then we covered in the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians, the episode, why are there divisions in the church? You see, that's not normal. There were some true, those who were sanctified, but then there's others who, some never received the Spirit of God. And then there's some who receive but are in danger, right? They're being deceived. So we talked about the wisdom of the world, and really it's not just the wisdom of the world. It's he's referring to those who call themselves Christians or those who basically claim to have fellowship with God, but not in true wisdom of God. Anything that's not a true wisdom of God, even though it's being proclaiming of God, is called the wisdom of the world. It's demonic. A wisdom that's demonic, a wisdom that cannot save, a boast that is not true. And so we covered that.
A wisdom that empties the cross.
And that pretty much got us up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And now we're going to actually talk about what is the true wisdom? Not those who are in a false wisdom of God and relying on God, but not in truth, but the true wisdom of God and how that comes. And then we're going to continue to look at chapter 3 and 4 as he contrasts this wisdom of the world, the strength of the world versus the weakness and the wisdom of God. And that's because I want to continue that theme of so people can clearly see the theme here of this contrast of how he's pointing out these people who were false or these people who were going down a deceptive path and they were in trouble. There is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from really verse 8 through verse 17 that talks about, building on wood, hay, or straw, a foundation of this. And, there's a passage that talks about if any man's work is burned up in verse 15, he will suffer loss, but himself will be saved, yet it's through his fire. I'm not going to cover that now. Some people, they misapply that. They get it backwards and the truth that's being spoken. But we'll cover that as a separate episode, just a standalone, probably a 10-minute one. Later after this one.
Okay.
This one, I want to keep the theme going on this wisdom that is true versus what is false, the strength that is true versus false of the world.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Father, for your teaching. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for each and every listener that's out there. We pray, Lord God, that as they seek truth, that you open their ears, protect them from any outside influences that might hinder their ability to hear and understand the truth of your word and this teaching. Oh, Father, we pray that you open their hearts, soften their hearts, allow them to receive the fullness, the wonder, the beauty of your Spirit. We ask this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up in verse 10. Again, we already talked about the wisdom of the world. What is foolishness? God says he's going to destroy the wisdom of the world. Where he went through, that was the people that was going to the house of God to worship God, to serve him. And yet God says, you have the wisdom of the world. You don't have the wisdom of God, and I'm going to destroy you. And that's where people don't understand. They're thinking, oh, world, meaning world. Atheists and others, like, no, he's speaking to those who are false believers, the false Christians. Those are the people he's speaking to. And people don't understand because they don't, when they says, as it is written, they don't seek to understand the context of that. He's speaking to those who were falsely claiming to have fellowship and be servants of God. So now we're going to look at the who are those that are have true wisdom and fellowship with God. Now, to have a true wisdom of God, just as we covered in the very first one, that got right, it's all about a humility. There's a thing about the Spirit. You see, you have to get the Spirit of God that He jealously desires to dwell in us. Because why? What does it say in verse 10?
These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God.
So we know that it must be the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what reveals the thoughts of God. So if we want to know the wisdom of God, then we must know the thoughts of God. Well, to know the thoughts of God, you have to have the Spirit of God. Now, the example that they give is very similar. In verse 11, he gives an example of man. What does he say?
For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God.
Amen. So just like a man, no one knows the thoughts of man except the thought of man. Now, the Spirit of God can reveal the thoughts of men, but using that same principle, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, the spirit of man cannot go and search out and know the thoughts of God, but the Spirit of God can search out and know the thoughts of man. So the key is, if the Spirit of God is the only one that knows the ways of God, then how are we to know the thoughts of God? That's what we want to know. What does he say in verse 12 and 13?
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual.
Amen. And the key about all this, it gets back to, you know, chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 4 and verse 5, where he's saying, hey, listen, I'm not coming to you with the wisdom of the world proclaiming the testimony of God. No, he says, my words are not in persuasive words of wisdom, referring to wisdom of the world, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That was in chapter 2, verse 4. And it all comes down to so that our faith in verse 5 would not rest upon the wisdom of men or the wisdom of the world, but on the power of God. And so that's why down here, when we get to this, it's only those who perceive the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world. Everyone's born with the Spirit of the world. Even those who are falsely seeking and serving God, they still have the Spirit of the world, but it's not in truth. You have to truly get the Spirit of God. Once you receive the Spirit of God, then you're taught of God. Then you can know the thoughts of God, but that's only then. Now, that's contrasted back with the spirit of the world or the natural man, or as James chapter 3 puts it about the wisdom of the world that is natural, earthly, and demonic, contrasting that which is the wisdom of above, which is pure, reasonable, gentle, full of, without, not wavering, not having any hypocrisy, not that one. Or that it doesn't have hypocrisy, but the wisdom of the world does. So here he talks about, well, what's the man of the world or the natural man, the man that's not spiritual? Can he know the things of God in verse 14?
No, he cannot. For those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
So we just talked about the two different types of people. We talked about the people who has the wisdom of the world. They think they're wise. They boast in their own strength, but yet they don't realize it. They still say they boast in God. We read those passages, how they claim to boast in God, but not in truth. God says, well, you may say that, but it's not in truth. You still don't have the new heart. It's in falsehood. You still struggle and you're still a slave of sin, just like the man of Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25. The man who's still a slave of sin doesn't understand, doesn't do any good, only does evil, which is proof, as he says, I want to do good, but I can't. It's the proof that sin still dwells in him. He's still a prisoner of the law of sin and his members. Well, yeah, that's the man that's just like the Israel who had a false hope and a false wisdom of God. Now, here, he contrasts. So you don't want to be the man who's the natural man, the earthly, the demonic man. You want to be the spiritual man. Well, again, he's talking to these people who have divisions. There is no division in the Spirit of God. He's talking to people earlier that we conducted in the previous episode of people who didn't have spiritual baptism. They were arguing over who they were baptizing. He's like, what are you talking about? That's nothing. Are you baptized into Christ or not? Don't sit there and try to say, I was baptized by this person, or I'm of this. He's like, no, you can only be baptized by Christ. Now, we covered that in the other episode. But now he's speaking again to these people who were causing divisions. Does he say that they are spiritual men? Remember, there's two types of men we've already covered. There's two types of wisdom and two types of men, one of God and one who has nothing of God. What type of men does he say he's speaking to right now in chapter 3? And I've heard so many people use these passages to justify themselves. And this is, when it talks about infant in Christ, it's infant in Christ. The same infant and word used as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 4 and also Galatians chapter 4 of the one who doesn't have the wisdom of God, the one who still does not have the Spirit of God, the one who is still a slave of the world. So what is this person?
And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, infants being the nepios. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations?
And so again, these people, he says, before he could not give them solid food, for they were not able. And indeed, even now, they're still not able. There was a group of people before that weren't able. There's a group of people that still are not able. He still cannot speak to them as spiritual men. Now, this is not the people who already were sanctified, were filled with, as we covered, enriched in speech and knowledge. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. They were not lacking any gift.
He says to them in verse 3, for you are still of the flesh.
That's right. And that's why I tell people, these are different groups of people. You have to understand and discern. Now, what's the evidence of why he says they're still men of flesh? Well, just like he said earlier, the quarrels and the divisions. He's like, as he says, has Christ been divided? Who are you baptized into? You? Were you baptized into Christ or not? He's like, listen, he's like, I'm not going to preach in this wisdom that you have. Otherwise, the cross of Christ would be made void or empty. Again, that was in the previous episode that we did on why are there divisions in the church. So as we continue to go, he continues his theme. He says, for one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Are you not mere men? He's continuing to speak to these people that are creating the divisions. Nope. Now he goes in and says, hey, listen, it's all about God. You're either in God or not. It's God the one who causes the growth. Get with it, right? Understand, you know, kind of like we talked about baptism earlier. So this is where I said earlier, I'm not going to go in and talk about verse 8 down. We'll hit that another time. Yep. But we're going to continue. So in verse 18, continuing with this theme of being wise, what wisdom do you have? What does he say in verse 18 and 19?
Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness.
And again,
the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile.
They're futile. They're useless. And so he's telling them, you got to stop deceiving yourself. You can't be thinking that you're wise. If you want to continue to boast in your wisdom and not truly boast in the Lord, even though they thought they were boasting in the Lord, he says, you still have to become a fool so that you may become wise. Kyle, they had not become wise. They have not yet received the Spirit of God. It was still foolishness to them, even though they were a people in the church claiming to have fellowship with God, but not in truth. And this was very in line with when we said, when it says, as is written, and we went and read the story, God speaking in Jeremiah and Isaiah to a people who claim to be a servant of God. Kyle, it makes so much sense when you go and you read the full Bible in context. It all makes perfect sense. You don't want to be this person. This right. person is not spiritual. And what does it mean to be a spiritual man that we read earlier at the end of chapter 2? You have to have what? The Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you aren't spiritual. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be wise. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're still a fool in the eyes of the world because you're relying on the wisdom of men and not of God. So he says, let no man deceive himself. You think you're wise, you still need to become a fool so that you might become wise. The wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, but yet the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. That's earlier. It's kind of like a little play on words. And God will say the same statement, but in different contexts, he'll make the same statement about his wisdom. In one place, he'll say it's strong or wise. Another one, he says it's foolish. It all depends on context. That's why I tell people, just like when they pluck verses out, I says, if you don't understand the context, he'll use the same statement, even two contrary statements, but he uses them in different contexts. So they're saying the same thing. That's why you have to keep reading all the Bible. So let no one boast in men. For all things belong to you, whether Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. Now, again, he's speaking to the church. He's always speaking to the whole church. There's those that are truly of the church that belong to God, and then you have all the false people in it, and those are the ones that he rebukes. And later on, as we keep reading, he's going to give a rebuke because some of those who are truly of God, he says, you aren't judging those who are living this false life. You're supposed to be removing them and casting them out. Now, that's later in chapter 6. So as you read, again, you have different commands to different people as you go. The context is clear as you read the whole book. Now, just to kind of wrap up here, I want to highlight again these continued themes that you see in chapter 4. So in chapter 4, Paul's going to kind of go on and mock them a little bit. Again, not those who were truly walking faithfully, who had the Spirit of God, but those who were being arrogant and not being smart and relying on the wisdom of men. But he challenged him. He says, listen, in chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, what does he say?
Think of us in this way as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me.
Amen. And part of this is because there are people, as we keep reading in chapter 4, that were going against Paul, that were using the wisdom of the world and trying to refute him, trying to accuse him, trying to judge him. Now, he's like, now again, the Bible commands judgment. Later on, we're going to see that he commands judgment, but that's for those that are righteous. But he says the unrighteous have no right to judge, or those who are false Christians have no right to judge. We covered that in the episode, to judge or not to judge.
That's right.
We covered a part one and a part two of that. But he said, God is going to judge, and he's going to disclose the intentions and the motives of men's hearts. And then the praise will come to them. Now, in all these things, he says in verse 6 that these things have been written for what purpose?
I've applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us the meaning of the saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another.
So none of them will become puffed up or prideful or arrogant on behalf of one another. Remember, we in the very beginning, in the first episode we did, you must have humility. You must have humility. These people, at least this group of people, didn't have humility. If you don't have humility, you cannot receive the Spirit of God. And we covered that in that episode. And this is, again, testifying against these people because they're being arrogant. So now he kind of mocks them. Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, because again, these people are claiming, they're actually arguing against Paul. He says, if you did receive it, well, then why do you boast as if you had not received it? And he says, oh, you've already been filled? You've already become rich? You have become kings without us? Well, indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we might reign with you. You see, he's mocking them. For I thank God has exhibited as us apostles, least of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. In verse 10, what does he say?
We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute.
See, again, it gets back to, see, in Christ, in the wisdom of God, he says we're fools, right? Remember when he was saying the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man? But yet these people who are being arrogant and proud and puffed up, he says, oh, but you're wise. We're fools, but you're wise. We're weak, but you're strong. Well, we just covered that in the previous episode of why is there a division of these people who are arrogant, don't even know what baptism is, don't have the wisdom of God, are not spiritual.
Had to be fed milk.
But are of the world. They're still natural. They're devoid of the Spirit. Yep. Why do you want to be this person? If you don't have the Spirit, then what's going to raise you from the dead? You know, the Bible says in Romans, it's if the Spirit of God is in you, then the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies.
Amen.
I think that's in Corinthians or Romans. So again, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're in trouble. These people, this group was a very arrogant, prideful, worldly, fleshly group, not spiritual. So Paul continues to kind of like mock them, but then he comes back to, Paul wants them to come. He wants them to have fellowship. He wants them to come under obedience of a father. What does he say in verse 14 to 16?
I am not writing this to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you might have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Indeed, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. I appeal to you then, be imitators of me.
be imitators of me. Of course, it says, in many other places, Paul says, I'm an imitator of Christ. Be imitators of me. I implore you as a person of the Lord, be imitators in all this. Just as it says we're to be imitators of Christ in all our conduct. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work. Now here, as we just finished off in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, he says, for this reason I sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, that he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ. Not in the world, but in Christ. Just as I teach everywhere in the church. This wasn't a different teaching that Paul had. But again, what was the problem? Does he say all or some have this problem in verse 18?
But some of you, thinking that I am not coming to you, have become arrogant. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God depends not on talk, but on power. What would you prefer? Am I to come to you with a stick or with love and a spirit of gentleness?
Oh, Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, it's so clear. I pray for all those listening today, oh God, that if they are prideful, if they're arrogant, they would see that that's a very dangerous position. And also, I pray that they would see, just as these people didn't think they were prideful. They didn't think they were arrogant. They thought they were truly serving God. And yet the Spirit of God, through the words of Paul being spoken through him, moved by the Spirit of God, was proclaiming, oh God, what you saw about the people, that they were not spiritual. Some of these people were prideful. They still had not humbled themselves, but yet they thought they were servants of God. They don't have power. They think they do, but they don't. But Father, we know that you desire, when we're disciplined by the rod of God, because you love those that you discipline so that we come into obedience. The one who does not come into obedience, O God, you tell us that they become the illegitimate son, the son that will then be destroyed, just as you spoke and teach in Isaiah. Father, I pray again that your Spirit will move in the hearts of men and women and all those that are listening, and that you will convict them of your truth. They'll rely on the words of God for your word to give context and instruction, and that they will put their faith and believe in the power and the impossible work of the Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.